from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be on God's great earth. And that's the whole earth, whatever time zone. Welcome. This is Midnight in the Desert, and I'm Art Bell. And tonight, baby, it's all you. All of you. That's right. Anybody who wants to get in tonight can get in, and I'm about to tell you how. Only two rules to our show. No bad language. Don't need it. And only one call per show. Well, okay. Let us thank everybody. Telos for the great sound. And, oh, it is great, too. Let me tell you. Telos and Joe Talbot here in Trump. What are the odds of the big guy in Telos being right here in Trump? Almost zero, right? But he was here, and here we are. Keith Rowland, my everlasting webmaster. Dr. J, producer, all of you. The Bell Gab website. People love our Bell. The Midnight in the Desert group. And a whole bunch of other groups that are springing up. Stream guys, getting it to you. LV.net, getting it to me. And, of course, sales and Peter Eberhardt. He's like the guy who gets the money. So, that's all out of the way. As I said, open lines. Anything goes tonight. Now, I have asked for your best paranormal experience, whatever that would be. I've had, you know, a few in my life. And so, that leads me to believe that a lot of you have had them too. So I'm sure you have one that you would like to tell us about, perhaps the scariest or weirdest one, whatever that may be. We're open to it. Couple of items before we get started. Under a microscope, an expert eyes, that wing fragment you've seen so much about lately, is being carefully examined by many. Looking and looking, no clues, well, nothing we have been told about yet, other than it's a, you know, 777 piece. Has to be the one, right? And this news, despite all the bombs we have dropped, actually billions of dollars spent, 10,000 extremist fighters killed. The assessment is the Islamic State, ISIS, is no weaker than it was when we began. So we have bombed them into a stasis, a state of stasis. Yeah. In Marana, Arizona, the police department there is reporting what they consider to be a ghost in their radio. Now, this is no normal thing. This is officers saying, somebody is saying, some woman, stop talking to me. Stop talking to me, like the screaming woman. No technical explanation from those who know about that stuff. They checked it out. So, you know, they think it's possibly a ghost in the radio. There are ghosts in the radio, folks. And by the way, on the subject of ghosts, I've got one I want you to see. It's a ghost hunter's catch, and we put it up on artbell.com. Now, you're going to have to look very carefully. Look near the cannons. That's what I'll tell you. Look near and behind the cannons. And you'll get to see it. It's pretty freaky. I'm pretty big on paranormal, as you know. And there's a couple of items here that I think you might want to know about. Real history, stuff verified over the years, really paranormal, stuff science cannot explain at all, but science admits it happened. Events, actually, that changed history. How about the blessing of the Roman Catholic Church itself? With some encouragement, the miracle of the sun, as it's called, was finally recognized as an actual biblical miracle on 13 October 1930. That's about 20 years after the event itself, and it was a doozy. At about lunchtime on Sunday, October 13th of 1917, the little town of Fatima, Portugal, thousands gathered beneath storm clouds, which were interrupted by an opaque, spinning disc in the sky, which then blasted a dazzling ray of light down upon the onlookers, many of whom claimed to have seen the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in it. Well, it really happened, folks. It was viewed by somewhere between 30,000 and 100,000 people of varying ages, and has since been confirmed as a miracle by the Roman Catholic Church, despite some theories about space dust, probably swamp gas, tricks of light, you know, things people say. Nobody has explained what all those people saw. And then there's one more I thought I'd lay on you. To most time travel fantasies that involve changing history, the catalyst for a butterfly effect throughout history is more often than not somebody dying. You kill Hitler, maybe stop Abe Lincoln from dying or something. And, of course, history changes, right? When somebody dies, you're removing a person's decisions, interactions, all from the world, which is why the poltergeist curse. Remember the movie Poltergeist, right? The girl sort of clawing at the television set. You remember that movie, a lot of you. That's why that movie had such a ineffable effect on history. For most, poltergeist curse is simply that people keep making unnecessary sequels. And now a remake of Hooper's classic haunted house movie, or else maybe it's being damned to hear your near-it-all friend endlessly tell you how Spielberg really directed it. Spielberg is, he may definitely feel responsible for the untimely deaths of dozens of people. This is a true story involved in that film. He okayed the use of real human skeletons. You know that? Not props. In the very first movie, and since then, an unexplained curse has claimed the lives of most of the main cast in violent and tragic circumstances, and even the novelization writer was killed in a car crash. A few things to think about. All right, now you're going to get the phone lecture, and then we'll break briefly and come back, and it's all yours tonight, really all yours. I'm serious. I enjoy these nights perhaps more than any other, simply because, I don't know, because it's you and because it's open lines and because I don't know what's coming and I don't screen calls. So here comes the How to Sound Better in the Digital Age lecture. We've got a very good phone system here, so if you call in on the phone, try and use a landline. If you can't use a landline, try and use a cell phone that has five bars lit up. And if you can't do that, then just do the best you can. Now, beyond that, we have, and of course we have a public number. Let me give it to you. It's area code 952. You might want to write this down. 952-225-5278. 952-225-5278. That's the public number, and there's plenty of lines, so you've got a chance to get through. Now, number two, Skype. In the digital age, boy, can you sound good on Skype. If you've got a headset mic on a computer, and you've actually hooked it up with Skype and set it, it's going to sound like $1 million. It's going to sound like you're sitting in the studio with me. But if you don't have a computer, no problem. If you have a smartphone, boy, are you in biz. You know, if it's an iPhone or an Android, got to have that talk some night. It's like Ford and Chevy, right? Everybody argues about what's better. Doesn't matter. They're both actually good. And what you can do is put Skype on it. Just download Skype. It's a free download. Once you've done that, become familiar with it. It'll work just fine with your phone. All you've got to do is put in what I'm about to tell you. MITD 51. If you're in America or Canada, you put in MITD 51. And even though I don't connect with you as a friend, doesn't matter. It'll be then in your list of contacts, and you can just punch it and dial me. It's that simple. And if you're overseas, if you're outside the country, anywhere else in the world, actually, same thing. You've got a smartphone, computer, put in MITD 55. MITD 55. And then it'll be in your contact list. You can punch it, and it will dial us up, and boy, will you ever sound good. Just don't leave it on the speakerphone. So these are the tips for sounding really spiffy in the digital age. Oh, by the way, I was on the air with Tom Likas for about an hour earlier today. That was pretty cool and fun, and, you know, we talked about radio, and we had a good time. Now it's our turn. We're going to have a good time with you. Any sort of paranormal event that you want to tell us all about, maybe freak us out a little bit. That's tonight. That's now on Midnight in the Desert.
Side of Midnight. From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
That's right. A couple of other things, just very quickly. Number one, if you haven't done it yet, and you're listening on, I don't know, a phone or a computer, for goodness sakes, put on headphones. We're in stereo. That's right. Living stereo. So, sounds pretty darn good. You'll be really shocked if you put some earbuds. I'm going to tell you about how to get good earbuds from Bob Crane. And you need to get them, because I'm telling you, the stereo is knock you dead good. Oh, and I might go on Periscope later. So, if you're not connected to me yet on Twitter, I'm ArtBell51. That's me on Twitter, ArtBell51. Then it will notify you when I turn Periscope on, and you'll be able to look at the back of my head. It's the only place to really mount this camera. Actually, it's my iPhone. Only place to really mount it. So, you know, if you're interested in watching the back of the head of a talk show host, go join me on Twitter at ArtBell51. But a lot of people asked for it. All of that in mind, let us go, I think, to our overseas line and say, hello, Robert, you're on the air.
Hi there, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Where are you?
I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne, Australia. We hear from a lot of Aussies, Robert.
Mate, your program is just so good.
Okay, Robert, wait. Get good and close to where your microphone is on your computer.
Hey, I have to go right in here, then.
Yes, right in there.
Are you looking at me, or am I just on the phone?
No, you're just on the phone. I mean, I can see your picture.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Okay, so what's up?
I just sent you an email a couple of days ago about Pine Gap. Wonder whether you read that.
I don't think I have, so tell me.
Okay. Well, basically, I was up there in 1967, and I'd hired a hired a Mini Moke. I don't know if you know them. They're tiny little Jeep-like cars. And I was out in the desert. We were going to a place called Eagle Gap, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the car conked out. And I thought, oh, it feels like the battery's gone, but couldn't find the battery. I opened up the front, not there. So
you couldn't find the battery?
Well, no. I'll continue and you'll find out why.
Okay.
I've been there looking and looking and looking around, and car pulls up behind me, and a big guy about 6'3" and quite wide gets out. Says, what's the trouble? I said, oh, I can't find the battery. He says, oh, and these things, they're behind the left-hand rear wheel in the frame. Sure enough, it was.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I put the wires on. He said, oh, there's a pub just up the road, as there is everywhere in Australia. He said, let's go and have a drink.
Yeah.
So we did, and we got chatting. And this is 1967. They were hippie days. We got into some pretty esoteric type stuff, you know.
Hmm.
And he says to me, well, I work at Pine Gap. I'm going, wow, you know, but tell me. So anyway, he was telling me that he was... I don't know what they call him. He's the sort of guy that hires people.
What is Pine Gap?
Pine Gap is an American base in Central Australia near Alice Springs.
Yes, okay.
They started building, I think, in the 50s. One of the first things they built there was a Tesla coil, so maybe that's some clue. Anyway, he told me that he worked at Pine Gap, but because he was Australian, he could only get down as far as a level 8, and he said went right down. And he told me that they were messing about with anti-gravity.
This is level 8 below ground.
Yeah,
okay. Anti-gravity.
That's what he said, yeah.
You know, it figures if we really had anti-gravity, we'd probably take it to Australia.
Yeah, we were upside down, aren't we? We're down under. So anyway, he told me that the technology came from crashed UFOs, which is... He basically told me the Roswell story, but in his case, they crashed somewhere between Russia and China.
Ah.
Sounds weird, but...
Not so much. Not so much, really. I've often thought there must have been crashes elsewhere.
Right. Well, this was 67, so I don't think the Roswell story came out till 70s, was it? 72 or something like that?
Oh, no. No, it was out in 45.
Oh, okay. Anyway, he told me the story, and he said there were beings involved who were, and these are his exact words, they were roughly 4 foot 8 inches high with very thin vertebrae, which suggested they came from somewhere with a gravity less than ours.
Sure.
And I thought that was really interesting. Couple of nights later, I had a meal or a barbecue, actually, in the creek there with him and two other guys who were from America.
Yes.
And they told me that they arrived on these great ships, or planes, that they come into Alice Springs quite regularly, Starliners, I believe they're called, and that they sort of moved into almost a replica of their own house there on the base. And that our government didn't even know they were there, and da-da-da-da-da-da. But I just, like, this is 1967, I just wondered, I'd be really interested if you could interview someone who sort of maybe knew more of what's going on there these days.
Well, did you stay in touch with this guy?
He did write to us, but I then split up with the lady I was with at that time, and I hadn't had no contact, no. His name was Mac, that's all I recall.
Mac, well, that'll make it easy. Mac, that you met in a bar. What makes you think that it was just more than two guys sitting around drinking, talking?
He had no reason to sort of tell me lies. It was him and his lady, and myself and my lady, and we were talking for a little while before this occurred. And you know, particularly when we had a barbecue with him two nights later and the same stuff was still being talked about, I really don't think he was lying to me.
Gotcha. All right. I really appreciate that story. Thank you. What do you think, folks? sounded like a legit recitation of a story. That doesn't, you know, it's not first person, but yeah, you know, if we had something like that, I think indeed we might take it to Australia where there are fewer prying eyes. Everybody knows about Area 51, and there's, of course, they don't get in, but there's constant traffic by it now. People gawking and trying to see something. So why not take it to Australia? Actually. Let us go to regular old Skype here in the North American sector. Somebody named Disconnected 76. I hope that doesn't mean mentally.
Not at all. That's me.
Howdy.
How are you doing, Art?
Great Very to be well. Back. Oh, it's great to be back.
I just wanted to tell you, I discovered today that the TuneIn app is also on the Xbox One, so I have it going on there loud and clear.
Oh, yeah. I have forgotten about that. How could I do it? My daughter has an Xbox One, which she is on constantly. And I had heard that we're actually on Xbox One. So, you know, we're on everything but a toaster.
Well, who knows? Maybe soon, right?
Soon.
As far as the story goes, I don't know if you remember, but the last show you did, Spooky Matter, while you were with Sirius.
Yes.
My wife, Stella, had gotten through to you and had discussed the house we lived in where the knives were coming out of the sheets on the counter into the floor by my feet.
I kind of remember that, yes.
Right, and she had found the, I guess I should say we, but she was the one who found all this back there, and found the bones and the teeth and the 150-year-old money back there.
I remember.
So, there's that whole situation, but we've since moved from that house.
Don't blame you.
It got a little much, to be honest with you. But as I reflect upon things in life, that isn't really the first instance of that's happened to me. I remember when I was really young, and we're talking between the ages of 2 and 5 here. I remember a distinct smell of bacon, eggs, and coffee. Now, the reason I say that is because I live with myself, my older sister, and my two parents.
I remember that, too. I mean, what's so odd about that? Everybody pretty much has bacon, eggs, coffee in the morning, right?
But see, nobody ever did.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
That was never cooked. And at the same house, again, this is when I was very young.
Well, that bacon, eggs, and coffee that you smelled?
Yes.
That was obviously from a prior tenant who had died violently in your room.
and they just kept having to cook over and over and over again.
Sorry.
It's all right. In that same house, two more things of note for that house. Up on the top level in the bathroom, my sister was hanging, she was 9 years older than me, so she was still pretty short. She was hanging the shower curtain, you know, with the hooks.
Yeah.
And everything, and she was standing on a stool.
Yeah.
And my mom, I saw this, and I have a fairly vivid memory of it. My mother was also there and insists that my memory is not mistaken, that she got thrown across the room into the wall, which was about 8 feet away from the shower curtains.
Oh, see, now that's way into the paranormal. No question.
Yes. Woof. Yes. And I remember a lot of people having weird dreams there, but the only other thing of real note before we moved out is when you would go up and down the stairs.
Yes.
You could hear things whispering your name, and you always felt like you were going to get pushed down.
Yeah, so it's fair to say you haven't had a lot of luck with houses.
Well, you know, I guess not, no. Either that or I'm very lucky and get to experience those things, depending how you want to look at it.
So how's the house you live in now?
We live in a high-rise apartment just outside of Minneapolis, uh-huh. And we have no paranormal activity at all whatsoever as of yet.
Way to go, sir. All right. Thank you very much for the story. And good luck with your future real estate. Going to Iowa City, Iowa on the phone. Hello there.
Hi, Art. How's it going?
It's going really well. Thank you.
Good. You know, this this story happened to me in December of 1997, and I have to tell you, I have tried to call you, you on the radio, ever since, mostly on the ghost-to-ghost line, and I'm so glad to finally get a hold of you.
Well, here you are.
Well, like I said, this happened about sometime in December of 1997. I was back on Christmas break from college, and my girl, as at my girlfriend's house, she lived about, I don't know, 10 miles from me in a very wooded rural area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go hang out with her until pretty late in the evening, and then I would go go home. But because it's an Iowa winter, it was so cold that I would go out and start my car about 15 minutes before I would leave.
I did that in Alaska. I understand.
Okay, so that's what I was doing. I went out, started my car, the headlights came on, and she had like some pine trees, you know, off to the side of her house that my headlights were hitting. And as I was getting ready to step out of my car, I saw movement in the pine trees. Now, this was like 2 in the morning, so it was very dark, and snow, all, you know, thick snow on the ground.
Right.
And I watched it for a second, thinking, you know, it was just nothing. But a woman came out from behind these pine trees, and she looked distraught. I remember she had long brown hair, and she was wearing like a nightgown or a robe of some kind, very thin, obviously not dressed for the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And as she was walking towards me, I noticed she was barefoot.
Yes. In the snow and the ice and
the snow,
cold.
In the snow, yeah, it was very, very cold.
Okay, listen.
And
listen to me. Hold on.
Sure.
We've got the barefoot lady, and we're going to take a break. Come right back to you. Find out what happened next. From the high desert, Great American Southwest, midnight in the desert.
For Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft. A jail inmate in Arizona is hospitalized after authorities say he pulled one of his eyeballs out of his socket. Officials say detention officers making routine checks Thursday night saw blood on the window of Corkill's cell door and found that he had pulled his right eyeball out of his socket with his fingers. Doctors were unable to save the man's eye. A Texas businessman used an app to find his iPhone in a rural pasture after it fell about 9,300 feet during a flight from Houston. Wilson says he and a pilot were traveling home Monday in a Beechcraft Bonanza when a pressure change caused the passenger door to open slightly. Wilson didn't realize his cell phone fell out until after landing. He and an employee used an app to narrow the search down to near Jacksboro, more than 50 miles away. The pair set out on their search Tuesday and ended up in a rural pasture. They found the cell phone under a mesquite tree. And believe it or not, the cell phone still works. That's one heck of a cell phone. This is Dark Matter News. The National Air and Space Museum is launching a crowdfunding campaign to conserve the spacesuit Neil Armstrong wore to the moon. The campaign began earlier this month, marking 46 years since Armstrong's moonwalk in 1969. Conservators say spacesuits were built for short-term use with materials that break down over time. The museum aims to raise $500,000 on Kickstarter to conserve the spacesuit, but build a climate-controlled display case and digitize the spacesuit with 3D scanning. The Smithsonian formed a partnership with Kickstarter for a series of crowdfunded projects. The spacesuit is the first. Armstrong's spacesuit is deteriorating and hasn't been on display since 2006. The museum plans to display it for the 50th anniversary of Armstrong's moonwalk. Later, the suit will be the centerpiece in Destination Moon, a gallery opening in 2020. The Kickstarter campaign has already reached its goal, raising $582,000 of their $500,000 goal from 7,591 backers with 18 days left to go. NASA has been forced to address the latest doomsday prediction by an impending 2.5-mile comet strike in the month of September 2015. The claim was initially made by the self-proclaimed prophet named Reverend Efrain Rodriguez. He said that a very large asteroid or a comet will hit Earth either on September 15th, 22nd, or 28th, or any other day in between. He also claimed that the location of the comet strike will be around the region close to Puerto Rico. The impact will set in motion a series of events taking place simultaneously in various parts of the world, like triggering earthquakes, causing a tsunami, and volcanic eruptions. The final prediction is that the experiments being conducted at the Large Hadron Collider will go beyond our control. This will cause the eventual destruction of Earth and wipe out humanity from the face of our planet. He further confirmed that the entire U.S. East Coast, Latin American nations, Mexico, and some countries in South America will be completely destroyed. He advised NASA to issue a warning about the comet strike so that people presently living in the areas that will be affected can be relocated to safer places. Other accounts of such apocalyptic theories are being shared online and are gaining a lot of traction, with many people agreeing that the event would bring about a climatic catastrophe. Some people have claimed that the actual doomsday will be caused due to CERN's Large Hadron Collider. They say that the logo of the CERN is the number 666, which is the sign of the devil. Others say that this is the sign of the beast in the circle. They go on to claim that the CERN collider looks like Stargate, or the all-seeing eye that they find in many places around the world. For now, NASA has addressed and contradicted their prediction of apocalypse by an impending comet strike in the month of September 2015. Let's hope they're right. For Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft.
Take a ride from the high desert and the great American Southwest. This is Midnight in the Desert, exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
We are rocking you, and somebody needs to send me a message through the wormhole telling me if we are indeed on Periscope right now. So I'll be checking that. I don't really know. I think I started it up, but, well, I'm still learning about all this. All right, we've got a scantily clad lady, barefooted in the snow and ice, with the headlights of my collar bearing down on her. And what happened?
Well, I got halfway out of my car, and I said, ma'am, because she was kind of heading for my car, but it was obvious she wasn't paying attention to me or the car.
Right.
She was stumbling.
Right.
And I said, ma'am, and she didn't respond at all, and I said it again, and she didn't respond at all, and suddenly I got very spooked, and I slammed the car door and ran back to my girlfriend, and to my girlfriend's house.
Uh-huh.
And she could tell I was spooked. And in my mind, all these things were going on. I knew that there was a nursing home not too far up the gravel road, like on the edge of town.
Okay.
And my girlfriend actually worked in the kitchen department of that nursing home.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if she was stumbling like she was sick or what?
Yeah, she looked distraught.
Okay.
And so I told my girlfriend what had happened. She grabbed the phone, and we went outside. And my girlfriend instantly started laughing and calling me a jerk, thinking I was making a joke because she was nowhere to be found.
Yes.
And I kept insisting that this happened.
Right.
And but she pointed out that in my headlights there were no footprints at all in the snow. And so we kind of looked in the ditch a little bit, and my girlfriend refused to call anybody. She thought I was joking.
So you probably said, honey, with something this scary out here, I've really got to stay with you tonight.
Well, let's just say that if this woman was trying to warn me for my girlfriend, I should have listened. she refused to call anybody, and I started questioning my own sanity there, that I must have been seeing things, so I went home. And like I said, it's about a 10-minute drive on a very dark gravel road,
right.
And I used to listen to you because it was early in the morning, and so I'd stay freaked out on that road all the time because your show always freaked me out.
My show freaks me out half the time.
Well, so the next night, same thing. I was at my girlfriend's house. I go out to start my car, and I'm spooked, but the same thing happened.
The woman came out. Same lady and everything?
Same lady. Same stumbling from up behind the same pine trees, and same thing. I ran back in the house, but this time I didn't say anything.
Wow.
When it came.
Well, I don't blame you. So go ahead. I wouldn't have said anything either.
Yeah, I decided it wasn't worth going through it again. And when I went back to get my car to go home, nobody was there. Same thing.
Right.
And this happened off and on the exact same way for that entire break. And I went back to college after the break was over, and fast forward in time, I don't know what break it was on, but there was no longer any snow on the ground. I was still seeing my girlfriend, and I got in my car one night, started heading home, and there's a campground right off this gravel road between her house and my house. And I saw somebody standing at like this orange gate at the entry to the campground. I didn't think anything of it, but I could see it in my headlights as I was coming up. And as I got closer, I realized it was that woman.
The same woman. Seasons have changed, and it's the same woman.
Seasons have changed, same woman, same dress, you know, same, like, nightgown or whatever.
Now we're talking
ghost.
Same
long hair. Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yep.
And she looked directly at my car, and her head followed my car as I drove by her. That's the first time that I realized, and as I got home, I realized that's the first time she's ever looked at me.
That's pretty freaky, too.
Yeah, I was so scared. Time is a little confusing to me now, but then a few nights later or a few weeks later, I was living with my mom and dad while, you know, I was going to school.
Right.
And so that's where I was going from my house to my girlfriend's house. So I pull into my mom and dad's house, and I get out, and I start heading for the front door, and my mom and dad lived in town, but a very small town, and the woman walked from around my mom and dad's house towards the front door right for me. She was maybe 10 feet from me. Same thing, stumbling, looking mostly at the ground, wringing her hands.
Okay.
And I got spooked. I ran in the house as fast as I could.
And that's the end of the story?
It's not.
Okay, well, we have to get there because we do have some time limits.
I definitely will get there.
Okay.
That kept happening to the point where I was going around the back of the house to go into the back door because I wouldn't see her. And one day, it was bright middle of the day, I'm lying on the living room floor watching TV. The phone rings. I get up, and I look out the front windows as I'm going for my phone, and the woman is standing in the highway in front of my mom and dad's house, staring right at the front door.
Oh, my.
And let me tell you, if you think things are freaky in the middle of the night, they're even freakier in broad daylight, because they're not supposed to happen in broad daylight.
Definitely coming for your soul.
Yeah, because the next day, the last time I saw her was the next day, same thing, saw her standing right in the middle of the road. This time she was clutching her nightgown, screaming at the top of her lungs, although I couldn't hear a word.
Hey.
And it looked like there was some sort of stain all over the front of her nightgown.
Well,
she was looking directly at the front door, and I've never seen her since.
God, this is a message for you. But what happened with the girlfriend?
Oh, I got rid of her not long after that.
Maybe that was the message all along. All right, thank you very, very much for the call. The lady who kept coming back until she didn't. All right, let's see. I'm trying to make a circuit here. Going outside the country somewhere, you're on the air, YLP.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I'm well. It sounds like another Australian to me.
Indeed. I've been made aware that there's been a lot of Australians on the air tonight, so I'm glad that you chose me.
Glad to have you.
I must admit that I've not listened to your show very often, but I went and visit my boyfriend at the end of last year, and he introduced me to you, and since then I've been fascinated by a lot of your discussion topics, especially Mel's Hole.
Oh, yes. I would surely, I'd love to hear from Mel again. Well, so. You know, actually, Mel is supposed to be in Australia, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, no, yes. Mel contracted, sir, Mel contracted cancer and was last heard to have gone to Australia. So, I don't know what to tell you. Watch for guys around holes.
Indeed, indeed. Sounds good. Well, okay. All the best for your ongoing show.
Thank you.
I'm very excited to continue listening to your exciting stories and those of others.
Well, now we have you. You have one?
Indeed. Thank you.
Do you have a story?
No, unfortunately, I don't have any fancy stories, but I very much enjoy hearing those stories of people around.
Well, thank you for calling, and cheerio.
Cheerio.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. All right. Let's see. Skype here in North America. You're on the air. Hello.
This is me?
It is. Oops. Oh, I am so sorry. Jack W. Jack W., buddy, I'm sorry. If I see you pop up again, I just did that by mistake. Maybe he's calling back. No, it's not Jack W. It's a Jack. Jack, you're on. Yeah, it is Jack W. Jack, buddy, you made it back.
No, but I can't believe I got through. Is this the one and only Mr. Ike Bell?
It is. You're not Jack W., huh?
No, unfortunately, I wish I was, apparently.
You're another Jack.
I'm a Jack. I am Jack from Miami, Florida.
All right, Jack. Jack W.,
I'm glad
sorry,
I got through to you. Welcome back, Mr. B.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, and I mean that sincerely. Mr. Bell, I'm going to make it quick because I know we have time constraints.
Yes.
And the clock, and since you're into time traveling, so am I, can emphasize with you. Let me bring my point to fruition, as
sure,
I say.
Sure.
Do you remember the interview you did with Father Malachi Martin in 1997 regarding the Vatican having built an observatory in Mount Graham in Arizona?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Well, that being said and done, as they say, I remember the reply that Father Malachi, may he rest, had stated to you that in the highest levels of governance at the Vatican, they were observing something in space that may be of great importance in the future.
Do you remember that? I don't remember him referring to a specific thing.
No, I know, but vaguely, do you recall that he did make reference to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be now, mind you, that they were observing something that would be of some great importance in 5 to 10 years in the future?
No, I don't remember that detail. I remember the Vatican was watching for something. Now, well, I'm not sure what that something was, frankly. Why?
Oh, I can tell you this, sir. You can't believe how I'm calming down. I'm excited because I'm talking to you.
Okay, what do you think they were looking for?
I don't necessarily know, and I'm not going to get theologic or being in theology and complicate a wonderful conversation that I am enjoying myself, mind you. But what I'm trying to say, sir, is it was almost prophetic. He said within 5 to 10 years into the future, this would be of some relevance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2007, the Vatican had a conference with certain representatives of the Jesuit order from Mount Graham.
Right.
In 2009, they had, and there's a message to my madness here, so follow me, and I'm trying to be fast because I know you're looking at the clock like I am. The situation is that your name has come up many a times in a prophetic sense with regards to Mr. Bell. The fact that a conference was held in 2009 at the Vatican with both atheists and religious representatives of the various different scientific disciplines regarding the possibility of what possibly could be an influence or a change on Earth from something that may come from, shall we say, possibly out there, maybe. So that conference was held, and your conversation with him was of prophetic, shall we say, relevance to
him. Well, did you hear Leo Ashcraft's newscast a little while ago?
something? No, I didn't. I apologize. Oh, I wish I had. Why? Could you bring me up to date on that?
Well, he was talking about asteroids and doomsday and stuff like that.
Ah, I vaguely heard some of that as I was trying to see if I could catch in. Yes,
well, doomsday, doomsday and asteroids would be something that the Vatican would be definitely on the lookout for.
Well, I wanted you to know that your name has been mentioned many a times in relationship to that particular, I'm trying to find a word because I'm looking at the clock myself as you probably are, that your point and that particular question that you asked, sir, was extremely relevant to the fact that that conference was held in 2009.
Well, there's one thing, sir, I don't want to be part of, and that's prophecy.
No, and I apologize if I infringed on anything like that.
No.
Look, listen, I don't want to lose you. I want to keep you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I like listening to you, and I don't want to be part of any prophecy either. But what I'm saying is that there is some correlation, and what is your take on that?
I don't know, because I don't know what it is that we're talking about, specifically. I'm sorry, I can't help you out. I miss Father Malachi Martin so much. I know all of you do. And I don't want to say that I'm looking for another Malachi, because I'm not going to find one, but I have found an interesting priest. And I'm going to leave it at that for now. As you know, I don't advertise guests ahead of time for extremely good reasons. But I'm telling you that I'm on to something. I guess that's the best way to put it. Let's go to Sedona, Arizona on the phone. You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, good evening, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
Long time fan. I first heard Art Bell when back in the 90s when Strange Universe did a feature on you.
Oh, that's right.
I've been listening religiously since. I'm an advanced quantum mechanics physicist, and I'm sitting here with the illustrious, beautiful Linda. And the reason for the call was we kind of entertained this idea a while back, but we didn't know where we wanted to break this story.
Break it here.
And I couldn't think of a better place than to do it on the Art Bell Show.
All right, fire away. What have you done?
Well, here we go. It was about a year ago, wasn't it, Linda? Back in last year in March. And she saw me on YouTube, and she reached out and said, is there something that you could do for me medically? I said, well, I do take a few select cases from time to time on. Tell me about yours.
Okay, well, when you keep saying Linda, you're not talking about our Linda Moulton Howe, right? You used the last name. I don't want you to do that. I'm sorry I had to take it out. Linda is your friend?
Yeah, best friend.
Best friend, okay.
And there you go. And so about a year ago, when she found me on the web, she reached out and asked me if I would help her in her medical condition.
Okay.
And so what we did, Linda here was pretty much shattered from nose to toe in a terrible drunken driving accident. Drunken driver hit her and it smashed her entire body. Her pregnant son was born in a coma.
Oh, my God.
He's doing good today. But Linda has went through about, 12 now? No, I count, yeah. She's went through about 12 botched surgeries. They've cut nerves. They've left her to a state where she would never walk again.
Oh, my. Very bad, yes.
I took on this case, and Linda's pretty happy to say that we walked across the island that we live here a mile. She runs up and down
You know, we don't have a lot of time, but what did you do for her?
Well, we used frequencies. She dropped her off all of the meds. We now use a frequency-based technology that I've designed.
Okay, but how do you deliver? Hold on. How do you deliver the frequency? Is it an audio frequency? Is it an a frequency of radio waves, RF? What?
We do it via text message, Art.
Really?
This is the most advanced way out there. With
How do you text a frequency?
Well, it's a standard text message, a picture image, and then we attach a specific vibrational code frequency, and then I use the telephone number as the quantum entanglement code, thus matching the telephone number with the image once it arrives, and you get about a 10-inch field.
Now you understand this sounds pretty crazy and wild, right?
Well, I have two world records that have been tested.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just saying it. You understand it sounds pretty wild.
Yeah, it sounds pretty wild.
Okay, so I hear Linda. Yep, I hear Linda in the background. Linda, I want you to come to the phone. And tell me if you've been cured by text frequencies.
Oh, well, it started on a text frequency. He also has a Digimed program that runs similarly. So I've had several treatments with that and the holographic treatments with the text. And nerves were regenerated that were cut for 16 years.
Wow. So you're here to testify, Linda, that it really works.
Oh, it really works. It's beyond works.
There's about 1,800.
What does she mean, beyond works?
Well, I mean it beyond works because, as a matter of fact, when I discussed all of the problems I was having, because I wasn't only just the accident, I've had multiple problems with improper medical treatment, and a few years back, I was actually had a doctor empty a bottle of Bupivacaine into my main valve at a routine checkup.
Well, you sure do sound happy now, Linda.
Yeah, well, I'm doing great now, better than I have been in 17 years. So it's something to be really excited about.
It certainly is. All right, thank you very much. Text frequency treatments. I've got a bad back. Maybe I'll ship you my cell number.
Time between dusk and dawn. From the high desert, it's Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert. Now, here's Art.
Well, now here I am, and let's see where to go. It's open lines. We're talking about any paranormal event that's happened in your life that you think others would find interesting. There obviously are many. Let's go outside the country this time and say hello to somebody who names themselves the Darkness 97.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember your first test show, Mark.
Me. Of course I do.
I.
Why?
Because I was one of the first callers, Mark. Oh. I was giggling all the time.
I see. And you are in Australia?
No, I'm in the UK.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's a pretty serious error, geographically and otherwise. Okay, in the United Kingdom. Excellent. And I'm sure glad to have you.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get too many of you over there, and the reason is at time. It's really sad, but what time is it there?
It is 6:02.
In the morning. Yes. So, in other words, unless we can catch somebody with a cup of coffee and a real serious story, we're unlikely to hear from people at that hour. Anyway, it's good to have you.
Thank you, sir. I have a quick story for you.
Yes, sir.
The apartment that we live in, we've lived here for 26 years, and the first Christmas that we were here, our doorbell plays 30 tunes. It's one of those tune ones. And the first Christmas day, 7:30 in the morning, it played the whole, went through the whole list by itself.
By itself?
Yes, sir. And there was nobody at the doors, either of them.
So, do you consider that to be a scary horror or a miracle of Christmas?
Well, this is the thing, because the following Christmas, we were sat round eating lunch, our lunch, and this was obviously afternoon, and it did the same thing. And that was the following Christmas.
Well, that really sounds like a Christmas miracle to me.
Probably.
Well, that's kind of a cool story, really. Did it ever happen again?
No, it's just the first two Christmases we were here.
No, I would say that's really cool. And I think if it happened to me, I would consider it to be a Christmas miracle. Excellent. I really appreciate your story. Thank you. Some paranormal things, you know, can be miracles, right? And that's kind of what that sounds like. If it automatically played twice, two Christmases in a row, I'd consider it a miracle, sure. Oh, what the heck. Outside the country one more time very quickly. Scott, hello, Scott.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you, pray tell?
Vancouver Island, British Columbia.
Wrong line, Scott.
Huh?
Wrong line.
You know, people waiting.
Well, I do, but you see, you're supposed to call MITD 51 if you're in North America, and you definitely are.
Yeah, I could not get an answer at that.
And well, I understand, because
the problem is I can't get a hold of a radio station to listen to you, so I tried calling the Skype number. That was the only thing I could find.
I understand. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but I've got to leave you. Try MITD 51. There are so many waiting that it's just, you know, it's not fair. Here's James. James on Skype, North America, you're on the air.
How's it going, Art?
It's going well, sir. Yeah. Extinguish your device immediately.
I am. I got the computer going. Cool.
Okay.
I have something that's going to touch hold to you because you are on Kadena.
Scott, I still hear it.
You do?
Yes. Now it's going. I was indeed at Kadena Air Force Base.
Right.
Okinawa, yes.
Towards Naha on Highway 58, there was a base on the right-hand side that was called Camp Kinzer. Do you remember that Marine Corps base?
I absolutely do. I spent almost a decade there, buddy.
Yeah, I spent a long time there, too. Anyways, I was a military policeman in the Marine Corps. I'm a contractor now. I've been in Afghanistan and Iraq numerous times, but I want to get to the story.
Sure.
Here is the funny part. We get a call one night. Now, you remember you had security all over for certain sensitive places.
Oh, yes.
This place was PWR, Pre-Positioned War Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant guns and different things in this building.
Right.
Well, that building during your era was used to hold corpses. And there were freezer areas.
Hmm.
And during the war, in the Second World War, they had landing strips. If you've been on Kinzer, you know what I mean, those big, long roads.
I don't think I was ever on base there.
Okay. Well, anyways, I get a call one night that something's going on at this PWR. And it was first, I'd only been there maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out later that this is common. And since it's paranormal, this is why I'm calling in.
Okay.
I go in there and these guys are like freaked out. There was a dark green in the Marine Corps. Dark green means black. Light green means white.
Right.
There was a mixed couple guarding.
Okay.
And the dark green was ashen gray. I'm not joking you, my brother, my veteran brother. And they're both freaked out. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Anyways, what ended up happening was they were speechless, and they're just pointing. So I go in there to check it out. Now, I'm walking through the boxes and the different things that are in there, and I see an apparition. And it was like midriff. There was no bottom, but there was a top and form. But remember how looking through...
Well, are you saying like half a body?
Well, do you remember how looking through the old night vision? I'm a Cold Warrior, too. I was in the Army before I went to Marine Corps.
Yes, I know about night vision.
Yeah, and remember how it was just a ghost image?
Sure.
Back in the day, now it's brilliant.
That's right.
But the thing is it was just like night vision, except I'm looking with my own eyes, and it was like smoke. And this thing, and it had form. I really wish I could describe it better, but it kind of looked at me and walked into the freezer through that freezer wall, that steel door, stainless steel door.
That would do it for me.
And of course, I went right behind it and opened the door. And there was nothing in there.
Of course.
So that's the only reason I called.
Oh, that's plenty. That's plenty of reason to call, my friend.
I listened to you since my son's now 17 on 610 AM in Columbus, Ohio, is where I listened to you from back in the day.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much for the call. And yes?
Dad knows me as Sword Point 9. God bless, Art.
All right. Thank you, sir. God bless you, too. And, yeah, you know, if you see something walk through a wall, you know you're... Actually, I don't think I would have gone and opened the door, frankly. Really, I would not have. But, you know, people do what they do. In other words, anything that walks through a wall, probably I don't want to see when I open the door. Thankfully, he didn't see it, right? But... What if he had? On the phone, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, it says, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. How are you?
I am well, sir. Thank you.
Many, many, many Roswells to you.
Thank you.
And I'm looking at you on Periscope.
Oh, really?
I forgot about that clock. I just love that clock.
I do, too.
I wish I could get one.
Well, you can. They're gettable, but they're not cheap, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Yes, you can get one. Well, you know, I don't exactly want to give out the name. That's free advertising.
Okay.
You know, but what the hell? Let's see. It's BRG Precision. That's BRG. Baker Robert George Precision. You know, right. And they're not cheap, but they're wonderful. You plug Ethernet into them, and it keeps time by the atomic time servers.
Great.
As I've mentioned before, I saw this baby, you know, in Paris, France, at Radio France International, and I did everything but rip it off the wall. I begged those people. There was no label saying who made it, so I had to find it.
I remember. Remember the stories.
Yes. Anyway, what's
up? My name is Tony, and I'm from Norman, Oklahoma, which is about 30 miles south of Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And I've talked to you twice before. The last story I told you was about a foot that I felt under a couch.
Mm.
And this happened about 5 years ago, this past 4th of July.
Okay.
I was at my brother's house, and he has some kids, and they were doing fireworks, and all the lights were off outside of the house. The outside of the house lights up. It's got a lot of spotlights.
You just reminded me of lights, sir. I should turn this light off, actually, and I should turn the back light on so that people can see better. Thank you. Continue.
And so it was dark out there.
Mm-hmm.
So about 3 hours later, I decided I was going to go home. So I walked out the front door. All the lights were out. It was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit the clicker for my car to unlock the car, and the headlights come on, and I wasn't looking at the headlights or around the headlights because I know they come on here, and the headlights, out of the corner of my eye, I saw something standing, and I looked to there, and there was a gray standing there.
It was a gray, as in gray aliens that we talk about?
Yes.
How tall?
And about 3.5-4 feet.
And the face? It looked like the normal gray alien depicted?
Oh, yes. Exactly. And it just stood there. It was looking at me. I was looking at it.
Yeah, I bet.
And it had to be about 45 seconds. And for the longest time, I kept thinking about why was he standing there so long? And I thought, well, maybe he's the one I know.
What do you mean What do you mean the one you know?
I have had abduction or
experiences. All right.
So that's the only thing I can think of as to why he stood there so long. But yeah. He turned and walked through this tall grass that came up to about its knees. And I never saw anything move the way this thing moved. It just turned, and I can't tell if it was running or what, but it moved so fast around the back of the house.
Okay, let me ask this. Was it... When you say the way it moved, was it as though, you know, I mean, if you run, there's a motion, right?
Yes.
Was it like that, or like it just, you know, smoothly moved fast?
I didn't see any bounce as if it was running.
Wow.
But it was moving extremely fast. I've never seen anything move this fast. And in the distance, after it went behind the house, I thought I saw it jump the fence, and it had to be about 30 feet if what I saw was that, and I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So I turned around, I went into the house, and everybody was watching TV. There was about 10 or 12 people there. And
yeah, what do you do? Interrupt 10 or 12 people watching TV? Guess what I just saw?
I stood in front of the coffee table, and my brother and his wife were sitting on the couch beyond that.
Right.
And I stopped, and I stood there, and I said, I just saw gray. And my brother said, what? And I said, I just saw gray. And he said, where? And it was right out the window.
No, wait a moment. If the average person goes into a room and says, I just saw a gray, they're going to say, a gray what? Right?
Well, he knows what it
is. He knew your history with grays.
Yes.
Okay.
So everybody jumped up, turned on the lights outside.
Right.
Everybody ran outside.
Got it.
And there was this 12 or 13-year-old girl who was just about the same size as it was. And she was standing right near where it was. And you could see a path in the grass. You could actually see where it had gone through in
right.
the grass.
Right.
And the next day they said that they had two dogs, and one dog, you would have to drag him in out of the rain. He didn't like to come in at all.
Yeah.
And this dog, the next night, ran to the back of the house, came in the front door, ran to the back of the house. The other dog would not go near the front door. My brother wouldn't go in anywhere near the front of the house. And neither would his wife. And they said that there was, I can't remember now what they said, but there was something going on outside that apparently scared the dogs or whatever. And I don't know why, but I wasn't surprised. I wasn't shocked. I wasn't afraid. It was just there, and I looked at him, and he looked at me.
So you're really familiar with grays.
Yeah.
A lot of gray experience, you might say. For me... Tell I like thunder. Oh, it's so rocking.
Coming to you at the speed of light in the darkness, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Now, here's Art.
All right. Getting down on my hands and knees. Really, I am. Actually, I am on my hands and knees. It is Jack W., who I cut off without mercy by mistake earlier. Jack, I am so sorry, buddy, and you are on the air.
You know what, I'm actually kind of glad you cut me off.
Why?
I had my front door open and the train came by, buddy. It would have completely covered me.
Well, anyway, I am so sorry. It was just I'm still learning about all this stuff.
Hey, you know what? It happens. Now get up off the floor before you hurt your back and miss some shows next week, huh?
Oh, you're right, actually.
All right. So now that we got that out of the way, let me start this fresh with a Roswell's and Kecksburg from the New York, Pennsylvania border.
Okay.
I've been waiting years to talk to you, sir, and I was even next up on Spooky Matter.
Oh, yes.
And cut me off at the end of the show.
Right, well, it's going to be ghost-to-ghost digital this year.
Well, see, the thing is, though, because it's a nice theme, I can give you one of those stories that I would have given you that night.
All right, lay it on me.
The town I grew up in here, in on the New York-Pennsylvania border, is a very, very active town, and I have no idea why. All I can guess is that we have a mound.
A mound.
You know it? Yeah. A mound. A mound builder mound that's not on the charts.
Well, I don't know what a mound builder mound is.
It was a group of Native Americans that built mounds. Oh. They were kind of tied in with the Mayans, I guess.
Okay.
I'm not an expert.
All right.
I'm not even going to claim to be.
Okay. Like a Mayan mound.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they built it here because there's an energy here anyway. I grew up a block away from a cemetery, and I'm sure you've heard tons of cemetery stories over the years, but I'm just going to toss this one onto the pile because it's pretty cool.
You can never get enough cemetery stories. Go right ahead.
That's what I always say. In the middle of the cemetery is a tree that has a scar down the side of it in the shape of a lightning bolt. From as high as you can see to the base.
Okay.
Next to that tree is a grave marker that's made out of steel that's been painted with the bust of the plot's owner. That head will follow you if you're under 18.
Mm. The head will follow you.
It will.
If you're under 18.
If you're under 18. If you're over 18, then you don't have to worry about anything in this cemetery. If you try to do vandalism, the cemetery hurts you.
Really?
I went to school with a kid that went in there and to kick over headstones. Because they were the ones that are like 3 or 4 inches thick, but they're tall.
Yeah, well, anybody does that deserves whatever they get.
Yes. Well, I was talking to him one day. He said to me, yeah, he's going to go kick over some headstones. The next day, when I saw him, he not only had a broken leg, but he had broken 3 fingers on his hand as well.
Did he mention how the graveyard did that?
Yeah.
How?
He did. He twisted and broke his ankle in a sinkhole that we could never find because we went back looking for it.
Yes.
And he broke his fingers trying to catch himself on the same headstone that he kicked over.
There is a karmic god.
Yes, there is. Absolutely, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one whale of a story, I must say. And I hope with all my heart that's true. And I guess that is the stuff of legends. So it's like you stay away from that graveyard.
Absolutely. And you never take a mirror into that graveyard.
A mirror?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because it'll burn your hand.
It'll burn your hand?
Yep.
Anything else about it?
There's a few other little quirks.
That's quite enough, actually.
Yeah, it's quite enough. I know there's other people out there. In fact, I've been talking to one all evening.
I see.
So I'm gonna let you go, let somebody else get out.
All right. Well, all I can say is that the dope got what he deserved, and maybe he deserved more. That's horrible. Absolutely horrible. All right, my friend. Thank you very, very much for the call. And, of course, again, excuse the drop. I'm so sorry about that.
Hey, you got me back on. 73rd, sir. Keep your stick on the ice.
That's a ham radio thing. Let's go by phone to, well, it says Mansfield, Ohio. I never really know. People move around so much now. Hello.
Hey, how you doing there, Art?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
That's great to hear you again. This is Steve in Ohio. Got a UFO story to tell you, a little quickie. I was just sitting here at my desk, minding my own business, just playing on the computer. And I sometimes go to the door and look out, and I looked out, and to the left of my house, there was a green, kind of like a welding torch, light, but it was in an empty field, which there used to be.
Wait! Are you telling me this is happening tonight?
No.
Okay.
No, happened. This happened back in the past.
All right.
I can't remember, like a year ago, maybe.
Oh, gotcha.
And and it was green. It was big, and it was green, and it was like a welding torch, a light, real bright. And nobody else seen it because I've even asked one of my neighbors, which lives two houses up from me, who I know, and he didn't see it. But I told him about it too. But anyway, I just want to tell you, I didn't want to really. You do know where I am, so the men in black may be coming, right?
That's right. All right, thank you very much.
All right, I love you, man. Take care.
Keep your eye on the sky. From the hot desert, Great American Southwest. Anything you want to talk about, fair game.
Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft. A Texas man was wounded after he fired a gun at an armadillo in his yard and the bullet ricocheted back to hit him in the face. Cass County, Texas Sheriff Larry Rose said the man, who was not identified, went outside his home in Marietta, Texas at around 3 a.m. local time Thursday morning. He spotted the armadillo on his property and opened fire. The animal's hard shell deflected at least one of three bullets, which then struck the man's jaw. The man was airlifted to a nearby hospital where his jaw was wired shut. The status of the animal is unknown. The sheriff said the armadillo could not be located. The professional wrestling legend known as Rowdy Roddy Piper has died at his Hollywood, California home. He was 61. Piper was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2005. He was also named one of WWE's top 50 villains. A new video shoot at the site of the Battle of Gettysburg in Pennsylvania has gone viral for telling the story of the haunted site. Over 150 years ago, the battle took place in the middle of the Civil War, lasting for days and taking the lives of many Americans. Ultimately, the battle is known for tilting the war in the favor of the North and shaping the fate of America. Even to this day, the town is said to be haunted by the soldiers who brutally lost their lives in the battle. Take a look at the video yourself at artbell.com. A massive fireball soared through the sky over Argentina, triggering a wave of social media posts. The mesmerizing show, which lasted just a few seconds, colored the sky green. The bright object could be clearly seen from Argentina's capital of Buenos Aires. Other reports of the dazzling display came in from Brazil's southern state of Rio Grande do Sul, as well as neighboring Uruguay. Most of the observers said the spectacle lasted for some 10 seconds as the massive fireball burnt up in the atmosphere. Witnesses reported that no sound was heard. Social media was subsequently bombarded with pictures, videos, and images of the event under the hashtag Cielo Verde. Hundreds of internet jokes about the origin of the phenomenon immediately followed, with the most viral suggesting that the celestial object was none other than the ball Argentinian striker Gonzalo Higuain infamously kicked high above Chile's goalposts at the recent finals of the Copa America Football Championship. Take a look at yourself. We've compiled several of the photos and videos for you at darkmatternews.com. Earth is entering a fast-moving stream of solar wind. In response, NOAA forecasters estimated a 60% chance of polar magnetic storms today. For those in high latitudes, tonight is the night to watch for these auroras. There's a full moon tonight, the second one this month. According to modern folklore, that makes it a blue moon. If you go outside tonight, look up, and you'll see the sky filled with blue moonlight. You might see something else as well, the Southern Delta Aquarid, SDA meteor shower. Caused by debris from an ancient sun-grazing comet, this shower produces 10 to 20 meteors per hour every year in late July. If you can't get outside tonight, take a look at darkmatternews.com for one that was recorded over North Carolina on July 29th by NASA's network of all-sky meteor cameras. The SDA fireball exploded behind a cloud, producing a bloom of light almost as bright as the waxing blue moon. So no matter where you live, the best time to look for the Southern Delta Aquarid meteors is during the hours between midnight and dawn, when the constellation of Aquarius is relatively high in the sky. The long-lasting shower is active from mid-July to late August. It overlaps with the more intense Perseid meteor shower, which peaks on August 11th through the 13th. Meanwhile, the best time to look for the blue moon is, well, any time tonight. It's up all night. And be sure to take your cell phone along with TuneIn and enjoy Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert and enjoy the Blue Moon, Comets, and Aurora show this evening. I'm Leo Ashcraft for Dark Matter News.
rings a bell, and it's very late, so I'm sleeping now. But you're awake, so call my daddy, because he's awake, too. The number is 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ARTS.
Hello, everybody. Midnight in the Desert on an open line. Any paranormal experience kind of night. Anything on your mind is absolutely fair game. Going outside North America, perhaps, you're on the air, somebody dubbing yourself Mr. Cool.
Oh, my God, this is me.
It is.
I got through.
You did.
I can't believe this.
Are you cool?
Just a shout-out to all the rest of the Bell Gabbers out there and Roswell's out.
Oh, yes.
I can see you on Periscope as well.
Well, not now you can't because I stopped it.
Before I was.
I turned it over. I was on Periscope. I often worry that I don't hit it right and start it, but apparently I did.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you what you thought of Jurassic World.
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
It really was good. I did enjoy San Andreas more. San Andreas really freaked me out, but Jurassic World was also a triumph of CGI.
Yeah, it was amazing. I'm really, really floored by. I can't believe the sound quality. The sound quality. I mean, you sound incredible.
Yes, things have changed. Where are you? You're of course in some
in Melbourne.
Melbourne, Australia. Okay. It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's like you're sitting here.
Yeah. I'm talking off an iPhone, and I've got my earphones on, and it just sounds unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing. Well, since you're here, you're a Bell Gabber, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a question on my computer, which says, Bell Gabbers want to know, what is the piece of paper taped to your clock?
The piece of paper taped to the clock.
Right.
Which clock are they talking about? The clock that you have?
There's only one clock here. The beautiful.
You're saying that clock that you just mentioned before that everyone wants?
Yes. That one. I'm gonna answer because obviously there's not enough resolution for them to know what that is. So I drew a circle with a plate from my wife's kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I built what's called a commercial break clock. So that's all it is. In other words, it's got the times where if I'm smart, I roll music and head into a break. That's what the piece of paper under the clock is. It just has a circle and a music roll time, something I made up so I know I get enough music in just before break time. That's all.
So the mystery is solved.
Yes.
I know that I'm going to ask a question, Art, and I don't know if I mean, I know you've talked about the Ouija board story, and you don't really want to disclose.
And so your mission is to pry out of me something I have absolutely said I will not discuss.
How about this? If I tell you what's circulating on the internet regarding that Ouija board story, can you tell me if that's true or false? I'll tell you what's being circulated on the internet.
Yeah, fine. Go ahead.
Okay. There is someone on the internet that said that apparently someone sent you a Ouija board and that you received that Ouija board and you cut it up into little pieces and threw it in the trash can. And then the following day, you came in and apparently found it reassembled. And ever since it spooked you and you just don't ever want to talk about the story ever again.
The only part I'm going to verify is it was sent to me. Now, okay. I will tell you that also sent to me was, and I swear this is true, the most evil-looking old doll you'll ever see in your entire life. It was in a plain box, you know, the old story of plain brown wrapper, no return address, and that was one evil damn doll. I'm telling you, it was bad, and that doll was hauled away by the trash guy. That scared the heck out of me. The Ouija board story, you don't get it.
Just one final thing, and I know everybody probably wants to know this. Madman Markham?
Yes.
He's coming back?
Madman is still alive as of probably about 3.5-4 weeks ago. He said he would come back on the program. I probably might give him a call this weekend, see if he's up for it. I can tell you, he told me he's got a large warehouse, and he is scaling up his time machine. I didn't ask him where he's getting his parts. I know he's hard at work, and I still think he's going to French fry himself, but who knows?
Right? Well, it was great talking to you, Art, and everyone else, just to let you know, it can be done. Try calling in, people. You can get through.
There you go. Thank you very much. And take care, my friend. That's the other side of the world. Pretty much as far as you can go around the world. And yet, if you were listening carefully, he sounds like he's right here. What I would like to recommend to all of you is that you use earbuds. You know, if you've got a phone, probably when you bought the phone, it came with earbuds, right? Try them. You're just not going to believe how good it really does sound, and you won't know until you put those earbuds in. On the phone in Ohio, I think. Newark, is that right?
It's where I'm from, but I'm in Columbus right now. I work for the railroad, and they got me in Columbus.
Gotcha. All right. Well, welcome to the program.
Art, it is such a pleasure to talk to you. Bless you and your wife and your child.
Thank you.
Really. She's beautiful, and your daughter's just stunning.
She is.
I have an absolute quick story for you. It's not really paranormal, but I was in the military. I was in the Army 6.5 years, and I was in Korea. And out of the blue, one day, they asked all of us to meet in the dining hall. And there was a female captain there, and they said she was a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a priest, but not a priest. She was Protestant minister.
Oh. Okay.
And she had us go through a relaxation ritual, and she was told us to close our eyes and put our heads down on the dining facility tables, and told us to imagine a babbling brook, and she hypnotized everybody in the company. And to this day,
really?
I do not know why they hypnotized us.
Well, this is beginning to get a little paranormal, actually.
I've never seen her before. Nobody in the company had ever seen her before.
Or maybe just Abby normal.
Yeah, and afterwards, you can ask my wife. I have absolutely no memory of my childhood or any long-term memory since that day.
Now it sounds like a crime. I mean, she wiped you?
I can't remember anything.
She wiped you?
I'm sorry.
She wiped you.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I do not remember anything from my childhood at all.
How about the rest of the people in the room?
I've lost contact with all of them, and I've never really, you know, it didn't dawn on me until I came, that was in Korea. I came back to the United States, you know, and I'm with my wife. My wife's like, well, you know, this happened in your childhood. I said, no, it didn't.
Actually, you know, that's a hell of a story. That really is a hell of a story. I would want to, I think, reach out if I could find some of the other people in the room and see if that happened to them. That's a serious matter. Your entire earlier life gone?
Everything. I can't remember. And my mother even. My mother's passed since. But even my mother's like, well, you don't remember that when that happened? I'm like, Mom, I don't remember anything from my childhood. I remember nothing from, like, I'd say probably from the ninth grade before, from being born to the ninth grade. And I remember everything from, like, the ninth grade on.
Man. You know, but for a guy who said he didn't have a paranormal story, you're doing pretty well.
I didn't think it was paranormal. It was just weird.
And you're laughing about it. I wouldn't be. I very much appreciate the story. Thank you. That's pretty weird. I guess that would be the military experimenting on him, huh? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. No, thank you. Let's go to, I think, Portland, Oregon.
Roswell's Art.
Thank you. That's
I was
going to say that's KXL land up there, right?
Yeah, the Megatorch.
Yes, sir.
I guess somebody stole my thunder about the Ouija board, huh?
Well, no, because I'm not going to answer it.
Well, no, but so I got to come up with another question.
So you mean you were going to say the same thing about it being sent and...
No, but I was just going to ask why you didn't talk about it. So I guess it's a moot point at this point, but is there any chance that you believe that it may not be all evil, that it could be actually used for some good?
No, I think it was evil.
All right, you're
asking... That much I can say. You know, if you really want to know, stay the hell away from Ouija boards. I'm serious. They are evil. No, that's not right. Let me rephrase it. They're not evil. Ouija boards are the doorway to evil. In other words, it is your intent when you play with a Ouija board that does you in, not the Ouija board itself.
Well, good. I'm glad we agree on that.
Okay.
I know you've been asking for some suggestions for the show, and so I just wanted to say that we love open lines, and so
me too.
Maybe if you would do more of those even on a weeknight, even for the first hour of the show, we'd love that. But I also had two quick questions for you because I am a radio guy, so I'm intrigued. Have you always run your board, and have you always worn a headset mic?
Yes to both. I've always manipulated my own board. I've always run my own bumper music. Well, no, there's an exception to that. I really am wrong. I'm sorry, too. When I was working for Sirius XM, they took all the phone calls. They shipped those calls to me. They shipped the guests to me. And they ran the bumper music, pretty much. So there you go.
Well, Art, it's great to have you back. And, yeah, you got a blowtorch here in Portland. So rock on.
All right. Thank you very much. It's kind of an odd story. KXL, of course, is a monster of a station. I mean, it is a monster of a station. Really big. You talk about a big FM signal, big stick, high mountain, many, many people. That's KXL, all right. And there's a few things I could say about it, but I don't want to influence, you know, what happens. I want to let it happen by itself, and then I'll have a lot to say about it. But let's say this. Portland is a big market in the U.S. Portland is about the 23rd largest market, and there's a lot there, you know, besides me, besides Midnight. And I'm going to leave it there, and then after a survey period or two, I'll have a few things to say. We do enjoy radio stations. You know, we're not actively out looking for them, but we very much enjoy them picking the program up, and we think that it's going to produce extremely high ratings. That's a wish, a hope, and a prayer, and we'll see. So there's a lot to be said about all that, but I'm going to hold my fire for the moment. Let us go to somebody who says his name is... John.
Art.
John.
How are you tonight, sir?
Really well.
All right. Hey, a little background about myself is I have a background in the Air Force working in command and control, and I think it would be really great if you could find a guest somewhere that could maybe speak to the, current events regarding the aggression from Russia. I won't say where I was at, but I have in the past had something to do with chasing bear bombers out of Canada.
You know what?
And
you look a little like Ed Snowden.
A little like Ed Snowden? Never.
Yeah. Actually, you do a little.
Oh, wow.
Bear bombers? You chase bear bombers?
Do I? I don't want to say what I do exactly, but I don't think people realize just the state of affairs and the kind of stuff that's going on in the world around them.
Well, I do know there's a bunch of dangerous stuff going on right now.
Absolutely.
With Russian planes getting very close to us. There's a bunch of really dangerous stuff going on in the South China Sea right now.
Absolutely.
And, most Americans don't know how dangerous it is.
Yeah. But I think given your vast outreach, I think you could probably find a guest that could speak to that intelligently, that would know where the classification lines are, unlike me. So,
well, exactly, so. You obviously know some classified material, right?
Oh, I know quite a bit, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, listen, don't let it worry you. Just whisper it right here in my ear.
Okay, yeah. Hey, one more thing. Once again, I worked in command and control, and a buddy of mine, who is also a radio guy, background in radio, we used to try to turn our HF station into UVB-76. Are you familiar with that one?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, the Russian buzzer.
Yep.
Yeah, when we heard it, it sounded more like a tone. It didn't quite sound like the buzzer, but
that'd be another
really cool show to talk about. The number stations Before
that, there was the woodpecker. You remember that?
Oh yeah, I've only read about it on Wikipedia. It's sort of funny. It's like, they say that youth is wasted on the young. Well, access to a military grade HF system is wasted on, was wasted on me when I didn't know much about such things. So.
All right. Well, anyway. Listen, when you're ready to spill your guts completely, you call me.
See, here's the thing is, Edward Snowden can't come back to this country ever again. And I'm worried that if I say what I know, I'll be in the same boat. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, Art, it is really great to have you back. Thanks for coming back, and I love your show.
Thank you for calling, and next time, spill your guts. Yeah. Let's see, North Carolina, I think. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Art. Yes. Hi, this is Peace. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, Art, I've been wanting to talk to you for quite some time.
Uh-oh. Oh, you are there.
Yes, sir.
You cut out for a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's quite all right. Go ahead.
Like I said, I've had this story sitting on me for about 15 years.
All right. Get it out because we don't have a lot of time to the top of the hour, so let her rip.
All right. It started in a dream. I kept seeing this young girl with long, dark hair and extremely dark eyes telling me that I was going down a specific road, and I took this road to a dance I used to travel to when I was younger. There's this church here that's on this road. It's been broken down. There's been rumors about it being used as a place where cults meet. It had quite a reputation. Anyway, story goes, my car ended up breaking down in front of that church. Bad things happened in front of that church.
All right, you've got your radio on in the background or your whatever. Got to have that off.
I apologize. Me and my friend, we were coming home one night from this dance place that we used to frequent. And we were getting ready to pass by this church now. We used to take the side road right before we get to the church. This is going to sound really weird, but it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's this extremely large African-American man on a unicycle going down the road. After that, we got to the church, and my friend who was sitting next to me asked me if what we were seeing at the church was really there. And what happened to be there was a young girl standing on the front porch of the steps at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's no houses around this place. The place is completely empty.
Okay.
I mean, that's the girl from my nightmare.
Your dream. Now you're calling it a nightmare.
Oh, it was a nightmare. I'm rushed because I know there's a time frame and all that.
There is a time frame. Hold on. I'll come back if there's really an end to this story. This is Midnight.
I was just rambling on there, and you kind of caught me off guard.
Okay, but now here you are, so you've got to finish up your story.
Okay. Well, this this girl, she seemed to try to warn me to stay off this road, to stay away from the church. And now that we're actually seeing this little girl that was from my nightmares standing on the porch of this abandoned church, flailing around at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when there are no houses in the area. There's no houses on this road. It's just a little side road that this church happens to reside on. Now, what is a 5 or 6-year-old girl who it's just unnatural. And as we're going down the road, my friend asked me if I'm seeing the same thing that he's seeing. I said, I don't know. I'm too terrified to look over in that direction. So as we're going down the road, a huge owl swoops down at our car, almost smashing our windshield. Needless to say, we never went down that road ever again. But my friends who did happen to travel down that road said that it's always an eerie feeling whenever they stop at the church. You know, the church would just happen to be a stopping point to get a spooky feeling.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about the girl. Anything more on her?
Well, actually, yeah. My friend, his real name wasn't Fred. His name was Zach, but we called him Fred. I'm not exactly sure why, but...
I don't even care why. The end of the story is?
The end of the story is my friend Fred went to the cemetery one night and accidentally knocked over a tombstone. He said that a girl apparition followed him around school until we went back and righted the tombstone.
Until you righted the tombstone. All right. I am going to consider that, for the sake of the audience, the end of the story, and I am going to go by phone to Hilo, Hawaii. Hello.
Hi, Art. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I am so, so glad you are back. I feel like reality has been restored in the world.
Reality radio.
Yes. Okay. So, when I was a teenager, this isn't a ghost story, but it is kind of abnormal.
Sure.
Abnormal. So, I'm a teenager with my best girlfriend, and we're in the mall, and we meet these boys that we think are way cool. We spend the day hanging out with them, and we give them our phone number, and we didn't hear from them that night. The next day, we wanted to talk to these boys. We were so boy crazy. We did everything that we could to find the phone number for these guys. The one guy, all we knew was the town he lived in, and that he was missing half his arm. So we did all kinds of crazy boy crazy stuff to try and find their numbers.
What did you begin to do, call random people? Say, do you know anybody missing half their arm?
That is exactly what we did, Art.
Oh, my. And?
15-year-old boy crazy girls, okay? So, and I'm a Gemini like you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great mind to be able to figure out anything. We called the fire department. Do you have a list of disabled people?
Oh,
I picked my brain all day, every single thing we could think of. Evening came, and we didn't make any headway. We were so bummed. So we went to sleep. Then I'm sleeping, and in the middle of a dream, I guess it was kind of lucid dreaming.
Right.
I suddenly become aware that I'm dreaming. And what's happening in my dream is part of the day that we spent with these boys is being replayed in front of me like a video.
Ah, yes. Well, it was on your mind.
But it was the most boring part of the day we spent with them. It was part of the day when we were sitting in the middle of the mall, and the guy says, hold on, I have to go call home. And he walked away and walked over to a payphone to call his house.
Right.
And as I'm kind of lucid dreaming, I'm watching the blade in my dream, and I'm like, why I have to watch this part of the day again? This was the most boring part of the day.
You know, I've actually commented to myself about dreams like that occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Even while you're in the dream. I hear you.
Yes.
Yeah.
While I was in the dream. So, but then I realize he's walking towards the payphone, which is facing me, and he's got his back to me, and I suddenly realize, wait a minute, if I pay attention right now, real close,
oh,
I
you're
can
kidding.
Probably
you're
tell.
Kidding, you're going to get his number.
I watched which buttons he pushed on the phone.
Whoa.
And I thought to myself, this is your chance. You watch real close and you remember this number that he's going to push.
Wow.
And so I watched him, and I could see I couldn't see the numbers, but I could see the shape of the keypad, you know.
Oh, sure.
And I figured out which numbers he pushed, and I kind of forced myself to wake up, and I'm repeating the number over and over and over. Forced myself somehow to wake up. I turned on the light. I told my friend, Barbara, oh, my God, get me a pen. I got to write this number down. And I wrote it down, but it was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So we had to wait till 9 a.m. to call. And we called the number, and it was his number.
Oh, man. That is one cool story.
And that's a real story. And we remained friends for years after that. And, you know, I thought, what does this actually mean? And it could be sort of paranormal or something in the spirit world, but it could be just as simple as your mind really does videotape pretty much everything.
Well, I think it's pretty well known that, you know, if you can't remember, you know, for example, a crime scene, you can get put under and you can remember details that consciously you can't remember at all. So, yeah, the brain can do that, but what a cool idea that in the middle of a dream, you would have enough consciousness to say, oh, my God, I can read the numbers and, you know, pick it off and then have it be the right number. That's quite a story.
Yep, that was the part that really made it work realized this was my chance and I took it.
Gotcha. That is wild. Thank you very, very much. That actually was a very cool call. Any of the rest of you able to, sort of participate in your dream in that way? That's the first I've ever heard of that. James, you're on the air. It's midnight.
Hey, Art, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay, quick story for you. I want to tell you the story of the most scary event I've ever had happen in my life, and it turned out to be totally bogus, but let me get ahead of... try not to get too far ahead of myself here.
Okay.
It was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. All the lights were off in the house, and I came out to get a glass of water. And in the hallway, I saw something, a figure, a silhouette, probably about 4.5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, dear God, I was completely freaking out from this silhouette. Looked like it had mass to it. I couldn't make out a head or anything, but I just had to fight the urge to reach out and touch it. And after about 30 seconds, I just finally had to reach out, looked at what I thought was an arm. I touched it. It felt dark and scaly. It felt like a snake skin.
Oh, brother.
I screamed like a little girl.
Yeah.
I had two roommates that came out and turned on the lights and were laughing at me because it was a vacuum.
A vacuum.
Yeah, Roswell's art. It's really good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much.
I have one really quick comment.
Yes, yes.
You're in stereo now, and it sounds absolutely wonderful. Have you thought about panning your voice over to one channel and over to the other?
Yeah,
and then
I've thought of it.
Kind of round table style.
I know. Trust me, I thought of it. thank you for mentioning the stereo, and thank you for the call. Listen, I'm telling you all, it is pretty cool. The audio quality is... absolutely amazing. So what I'm recommending is that you get earbuds. You know, if you're listening on a phone or, I don't know, tablet or something like that, for goodness sakes, grab some earbuds because that will bring the full experience to you. This is radio unlike... It's not radio exactly. It's what's next. But this digital experience is... about a million miles. Okay, let me tell you a quick story. When I was working for SiriusXM, this is not their fault. This part is not their fault. They shipped me everything. So if you called to talk to me, for example, I think that your call would be answered in Washington, D.C., and then it would get shipped, I believe, to New York, if I remember correctly, and then back to me. So the total time of the delay between what you would say and I would say would become enormous by the time it got back here. That was one problem. The other was that it didn't come very coherently across that span of distance. So the experience that we're having here with this amazing digital quality is entirely different than anything I've ever done. That means with any network, any place, any time. It's just all new. That's why we say it's not radio, but, oh, yes, it's what's next. In California somewhere, you're on the air. This is midnight. Hi. It's 11:11, if that worries you, 11:11.
Hi, it's Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Your friend on Facebook?
Yes.
With the hummingbird avatar?
Oh, yes. Well, I do have 5,000 friends on Facebook, but Joy, yes, I know you.
Yeah, hi. The only problem I have with listening online is that I can't, when I'm on the phone, I can't hear the show.
When you're on the phone, you can't hear. You well,
right,
no, but we do home. We do ship the audio down the line. Anyway.
Anyway, two things I have to share with you. One is my paranormal experience.
Okay.
And also today, my husband just got out of surgery, and I have to give great kudos to nurses. We need to give them credit and thank them when they do a good job.
We do, and they do. Yes.
Anyway, my paranormal experience goes back to, I think, about 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having dinner with friends overlooking the Monterey Bay.
Oh, that's a beautiful place, yes.
Beautiful venue. It was approaching, it was twilight, but getting darker.
Mm-hmm.
And
try it again.
Walking, hello?
Somebody said something about trying it again. I have no idea what that was. Anyway, continue.
Okay. I was walking outside after dinner, just walking along the poolside, and was looking out over the bay. And all of a sudden, I saw this huge green light coming up from out of the bay.
Out of the water?
Out of the water. And it was this really large, green, yellowish light. And I was like, what in the world is that? And as it came up, you could see kelp dripping on the sides of it, because Monterey Bay has lots of kelp in it.
Oh, yes. Was this like a metallic object? How big was it?
All I could see was the light at that point.
Okay.
Because we were far enough up into the Soquel Hills that we couldn't really see. I couldn't really see what it actually was. I could just see the light because the light was blurring out everything else.
Okay, so then the kelp was sort of hanging off the light or something, right? To be able to see it? Okay.
Yeah. And then now we were in Soquel, and this was a little bit north of Soquel, and on down towards the Monterey Bay is Moss Landing, which is a power plant.
Right. I lived in Moss Landing once.
Oh, okay, so you know this area really well.
I do.
And this rose up out of the bay very, very slowly and was hovering over the bay and then started moving slowly all the way to Moss Landing until it was about parallel to the top of the power of the...
Big power lines that come over. Yeah, I know.
Where the smokestacks are.
It's like, I think they're 3/4 million volt lines now. They're gigantic.
Right, but this was opposite smokestacks. You know, those really tall stacks.
Yes.
And it stayed there for about 30 minutes. And
That's
were watching it. Yeah. At this point, my husband and the people we were having dinner with, we were all looking at it. And we not only were looking at it just off the deck, we were looking at it through one of those spyglass telescopes.
But by now, people should have been grabbing cameras and video cameras and all kinds of things.
You would think. I called the local radio station, and they just said, oh, you're just seeing a fishing boat. I'm like, a fishing boat?
Really?
That high in the air?
No kidding.
Yeah, it was one that was carrying your station, your show, which astounded me. So we looked at it through the spyglass,
mm-hmm.
and what we saw were a number of lights that were going
around at least the one side that we could see from where we were at. They were ambergreen lights that were elliptical.
Wow.
And my friend and I, one of the people who was looking at it with me, the people we were having dinner with, looked at it through the spyglass, and we could see, you know, the spyglasses that you could look at over the
sure,
bay?
Sure, sure, sure.
Long copper ones, the long brass ones. That
right.
Well, we were looking at it, and both of us saw this thing that looked like this long arm that was going out from one side out towards the actual smokestacks. And it looked like it was taking something from them.
Holy moly.
It was very, very bizarre. And we watched this for another 15 minutes. It was just hovering there in the air. And finally, it winked out. Just
winked out.
Winked. Like an eyeball closed.
Got it. Winked out. That's incredible. Well, I have no idea what you saw. Something really big, something that came up out of the water, and that's something that I really want to talk with the audience a little bit about. We're always talking about UFOs. There's really
UFOs.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that comes up out of the water. Seamen have seen it. Sailors, you know, have seen it. There's a lot more than you think below the water, and we don't know much about it.
Monterey Bay is deep.
Yes.
Deep, deep, deep. And who knows where it goes to? You know, could be anything.
Could be anything. All right. Thank you very much. We got to kind of pause right here. You're listening to, of course, Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell.
Sniff our packets. Then, with a smile on your face, please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
You know why you hear this song a lot? Because I love it. I'm just stuck on this tune, and because I can play it, so I do. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Paranormal Story Night. We could probably do this week in and week out because virtually everybody has one, right? Some kind of paranormal story. It's kind of a paranormal world out there, and these things do happen to people. All right, let's see. Where to go? How about Scott? Your turn.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well indeed.
I just want to talk about I do have a paranormal story.
Oh, good.
But I want to just talk about my computer setup for a second.
Because?
Because it's very interesting. I've got a computer dedicated to your show right now.
Dedicated to it. I like that.
It's dedicated, and I've also got a computer dedicated to Skype.
Oh, my.
So I'm using two computers simultaneously right now.
That's a lot of dedication.
And you're being transmitted to my television as a beautiful, I don't see you obviously, but you are being transmitted as a full screen in high definition, me and you both as a graphic equalizer. I'm not using the Roku box right now because I'm using my computers because I can get you on TuneIn on the Roku box.
Oof. You're a dedicated fan.
I have to give you many Roswells.
Thank you. I collect Roswells.
And also this is the very first time I've ever been able to talk to you ever after all these years.
Well. That is something. I mean, you're obviously prepared.
And talking to you alone, to me, this is a paranormal experience, right? Automatically.
Okay.
Because I never thought I would get a hold of you in the first place.
I can almost picture you in front of all these computers and screens and knobs.
I'm standing in front of them right now.
There you have it. Okay.
I do have a paranormal. This has been going on ever since I've lived where I am right now.
Unwind your story.
Okay, so it doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, it'll happen. Like, it happened, like, a few days ago.
And it is?
I'll go to sleep at night, and I will hear voices. I will hear screams.
Mm-hmm.
I will hear people in my ear. It's not like a dream or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be kind of sleeping, but it's not a dream. And I'll hear right in my ear someone mention my name. Like they're trying to talk to me.
You
in my
know,
ear.
I have actually had that happen too.
I've had it happen a lot.
You know, when you're in between awake consciousness and sleep, right. There is that little area. I could swear I've heard my name yelled out.
Yep, screamed. I've had it screamed at me.
What's that all about?
I have no idea, and it's only happened to me in this place.
Huh.
It's never, I've lived in other places, this is never, maybe like every, like maybe once, like a fleeting moment.
Well, you know, it's a very vulnerable time.
Yeah,
you're
in between things, like you said, you're in between, you know, it's like you're kind of sleeping, but you're kind of not.
Maybe that's when somebody on the other side can reach you.
It could be. I also have two quick UFO stories. They're not going to be long.
Well, I'll take one UFO story.
Okay.
Give me your best shot.
This was like 2013. We'll say 2013.
Okay.
I'm just looking outside. I'm not, too bad I didn't have a camera or anything, but I'm just looking outside, you know, and just out of nowhere. It's a blue ball within a blue ball. And it's in the middle of the night. It's not middle of the night, but it's late.
So it's not like a wheel within a wheel, but a ball
within
a ball.
No, it's a blue ball with a blue ball, and it had and it's going straight down. There's no sound.
So you had two blue balls.
Yeah, they were all in it was one thing, but you saw the outer, and there had like an inner center.
Yes, okay, yes. Continue.
And it had kind of like a flame. It's going vertical straight down. There's no sound, and there's kind of a flame coming off the end of it, a little kind of like a triangle.
Okay.
And there's no sound, and you see it disappear. There's no explosion, no sound, no anything.
Uh-huh. Okay, so bottom line, why am I doing this? Bottom line, it's too early for the music. I just couldn't get past some of the details of that story. I'm not going there. Let's go to Trey. Trey, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
And hey to Bell Gab.
You're a Bell Gabber.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can describe, Trey, Bell Gab. I've called them various things, including vaguely lovable, but they're also, on occasion, mean as hell, right?
I don't think there's a better way to describe them than that.
Okay. All right. So you navigate your way through that, and you're okay with it.
Love it.
Got it. Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, when I was younger, we had some weird experiences. My sister and I, we had moved into a brand new house.
Yes, sir.
And frequently we'd wake up at night feeling like something was tickling us. I know this sounds odd, but
No, it's after two blue balls and a flame, you know, it's yeah. not it's not odd.
But you can feel this sort of like malicious thing. I don't know how to describe it.
Okay.
It's horrible.
Actually, it is true. If something is malicious near you, you definitely can feel it.
It's just so palpable.
Yes.
But
good word.
It sort of culminated one night when I used to stay up late watching Nick at Night and the Dick Van Dyke Show was on.
Right.
And it was the Walnut episode. I don't know if you remember that one.
Not particularly.
Anyway, I had just gone to bed and my alarm went off in the room. Woke up, turned it off, go back to sleep, happens again.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, repeat the process. Other alarms in my room start going off, like on little video game consoles and whatnot.
Right.
It keeps happening, and I'm just trembling, and I'm actually getting kind of upset thinking about this right now. But anyway, after a while, I unplugged everything. Took the batteries out of everything. Happened yeah. again.
Wait a minute. It happened after you...
Happened again.
Oh, baby.
I'll tell you what got weird about it was...
We've got a break here. Can you hold?
Sure, no problem.
All right. Putting you on hold. Stay right there. Nothing to fear anymore. This is Midnight.
Jesus, don't fear the reaper. Under the wind, the sun, or the rain.
For Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft. There's no foreseeable relief for Iran as its temperatures hit the feel-like temperature of 163 degrees Fahrenheit. Due to extreme heat and humidity, Bandar Mashar registered an apparent temperature of 154 degrees on Thursday. However, such exceptional apparent temperatures outdid itself on Friday. The combination of an actual temperature of 115 degrees and a dew point temperature of 90 degrees pushed the apparent temperature to 163 degrees Fahrenheit on Friday afternoon. This reading would have been even higher if a breeze was not blowing, a factor in the calculation of apparent temperature. A strong ridge of high pressure has persisted over the Middle East through much of July, resulting in the extreme heat wave in what many would consider one of the hottest places in the world. Amid this heat wave, Baghdad experienced its all-time record high on Thursday when temperatures soared to 124 degrees. As the land heats up around the Persian Gulf, the air rises quickly and rushes inland from the Gulf, creating an onshore wind that pulls humid air sitting over the waters into coastal communities. Water temperatures in the Persian Gulf are running a bit above normal, contributing to even higher than normal humidity. Believe it or not, it is always very humid in these places surrounding the Persian Gulf during the summer. But the nature of the extreme heat wave is causing some of the highest combinations of heat and humidity ever observed. Relief from the oppressive heat and humidity along the Persian Gulf will not come anytime soon. As it appears now, the ridge of high pressure will remain in place across the Middle East through at least the next week. A video shot in Japan's port city of Osaka has been making the rounds online, displaying a swarm of white spherical objects of unknown origin flying across the sky. The low-quality footage has triggered speculations over extraterrestrial life and UFOs. The 2-minute clip shows the mysterious round objects moving quickly in the sky while following a dance-like pattern. The footage, which has been reposted a few times from a Japanese YouTube channel, left many viewers puzzled as to what the flying anomalies may be, and also spurred several conspiracy theories. Some reports point out that the Japanese UFO sighting closely resembled the white lights witnessed in June over Hyde Park in London, UK. Find out more at artbell.com. An Ebola vaccine developed by the Public Health Agency of Canada and tested in Guinea has turned out to be almost 100% effective. This news comes from the World Health Organization coming Friday, citing the British medical journal The Lancet. The researchers used the newly developed Ebola shot in so-called ring vaccination, the method that helped eradicate smallpox in the past. It is based on vaccination of all people who came into contact with an infected person, creating a so-called protective ring that prevents the disease from spreading.
About 4,000 of those involved were assigned to immediate vaccination after confirmation of the contact with an infected person, and about 3,000 others to delayed vaccination 21 days after the contact. Pregnant and breastfeeding women were excluded from the test. In the period between April 1st and July 20th, more than 3,500 people were vaccinated. As a result, no patient got sick with Ebola after immediate vaccination, whereas 16 people got sick among those who got delayed vaccination. In other words, current findings show near 100% efficiency of the vaccine. The latest Ebola outbreak started in early 2014 and embraced primarily three West African countries, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. Up to July 26, there were 27,784 registered cases and 11,294 people died from the virus. So the good news, it looks like our neighbors to the north have developed a possible cure. I'm Leo Ashcraft for Dark Matter News.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, this is Midnight in the Desert, exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
You know that song, right? That is the O of Pleasure and Whitley's theme song, the one I picked when the program started. And the one he continues with to this very day. Whitley's a good friend. All right, over back to Trey, that is. You're back on the air, Trey.
Yes, I'm sorry. Got a little nervous at first.
Okay, well, now you've got a chance to relax and you can finish up.
I'm acclimated. But anyway, that night, after all the weird stuff was going on with the electronics, it sounded like a dog laughing coming from behind my dresser.
A dog laughing?
A dog trying to laugh as if it was a human being. I don't know how to describe it. It was just a sort of demonic laugh that sounded like more like a wolfish or dog-like. It was super creepy.
Yes.
And then after that night that happened, from then on for maybe like 2 months, my sister would get up and start sleepwalking around the house and screaming about people trying to kill her, saying that strange thing. She would scream, and she seemed just out of step with everything around her. And she would always wander into my great-grandmother's room, who happened to be born on the same day as her, and just sit there in the dark next to all of her things, her little crochet needlework she used to do.
That's creepy.
It was incredibly bizarre.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much for the call. Sleepwalking is really creepy. My sister was a sleepwalker, and it's odd. It's just, all I can say is it's creepy. Let's go overseas somewhere and say, Michael, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm calling from Newcastle in England.
Newcastle, England. All right. Excellent. Have you had your coffee yet?
No. Funny enough, I've just finished some beer.
Beer.
Having said that...
Now, wait just one moment. It's very early in the morning there, right?
I've been awake virtually all night. I'm a chronic insomniac.
All right.
But years ago, I think I sent you a really true story. I mean, it was spooky, but not frightening, about an encounter with an angel... or an angel statue in a graveyard. It never ever got published, but I don't know if you ever remember reading it.
Well, an angel would be nice, but in a graveyard it might feel a little creepy.
Well, it is weird in this regard. We'd way back in 1972, I was in the Royal Air Force, and we just finished a night shift at Strike Command's headquarters at RAF High Wycombe. And as the shift finished, we all decided it was a nice, beautiful summer evening. It would be nice to go into High Wycombe, get some beer and a couple of pizzas. It only just started up in them days, pizza shops, and go and have a picnic. Beautiful part of the country. It's rolling hills, Chiltern Hills. But the best place to go was the top of a hill, under which the Hellfire Club used to hold its meetings in West Wycombe. And from there you could see right down the valley towards Oxford, where you could see the lights of Oxford.
Yes, sir.
So in we go. On the top of this hill as well, there's a mausoleum dedicated to one of the Dashwood family, who had his heart. He died in the Crusades. He had it, excuse me while I have a cough. He had his heart brought back, because he died there in the Holy Land, brought back, and there was a whole huge mausoleum built just to hold his heart. Now, this might sound a bit spooky, but it wasn't. It was a beautiful, beautiful setting. So we sit down on the edge of this graveyard, looking down the valley towards Oxford, and we get the beer out. There's half a dozen girls and half a dozen lads, and as you can imagine, we sort of broke up and mixed up into groups.
Okay, Michael, we're short on time here, so we've got to get to it.
Granted, but the thing was, we were sat underneath this huge statue, and it must have been 11 foot tall, of an angel holding a laurel wreath, which is quite common in Britain, because most war memorials look like that.
Right, a lot of statues.
So we had a great night. This thing wasn't weird at all. It didn't do anything. It didn't say anything. Following morning, one of the girls, I reckon she left her handbag in the graveyard. And as we were off duty that day, we went back up to the graveyard find a handbag. And it was still early, 7 o'clock in the morning. And we searched for it. We couldn't find the handbag. But even weirder, we couldn't find this statue. It wasn't there.
The whole statue was gone.
The whole statue was gone. And it was a center point. I mean, one of the lads had actually said that night, we ought to blindfold her in case she got corrupted by what she was seeing, kind of thing. It wasn't a spectacularly interesting statue. I mean, it was a beautiful statue.
But it was gone.
It didn't do anything, didn't say anything, but it wasn't there the following day, which is the weirdest thing you ever come across. There was no other statues of any angels which could have been remotely mistaken for her. So there you go.
Yeah, statues, big ones, don't often disappear. There's no question about that. All right, well, thank you very much for the call. Weird, if you saw a gigantic statue of an angel, and then you went back the next morning when you'd been there that night, and it was gone. Yeah, that's strange. You are on the air. Dave, I believe it is. Hello?
Hello, it's Dave Carr from Australia here. I've been listening to your show. Actually, I heard you via Tom Likas earlier in the day.
You heard me on Tom Likas.
Yes, that's probably where you got a lot of your Australian, all of a sudden a lot of Australian audience came probably from that show.
That could be. The thing about Australia is that it's the right time in Australia. In other words, it's
exactly,
you know, kind of the middle of the...
It's only 4:45 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah, see, there you go. In England, it's early morning. In Europe, so, you know, it's not as convenient.
Exactly. But no, I used to listen to you when you used to be on KFI back in the day. So you used to be on before Leo Laporte came on. That's how I first came to hear of you.
Hmm.
So that's going back a few years. That's before all the US stations started to they started blocking their content outside of the United States.
Yes, how were you? That's right. It is blocked, I believe. How were you hearing KFI? You were here in the US or what?
That was back in the, this we're talking about the early 2000s.
Okay, so they weren't blocking at that point.
Not at that point, because I used to be able to listen to Leo LaPorte on there.
Right.
So you used to be on before him, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, that's going back a fair few years.
Yes, sir. Do you have a paranormal anything for us?
Yes, I do. Back in around 1975, when I was living in a house in North Dubbo, there was a couple of occasions just before the local ABC radio station would sign off for the night. The place used to have a front veranda. I used to hear these footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, you know, it kind of used to freak me out. But there, I remember my late mother even said she'd seen shadows in the lounge room. So I don't know what it was exactly, but yeah, it only happened to me twice in the time, and that was all around, roughly around 1975, 1976.
Some people call those shadow people, actually.
Yes, yeah, that's right. But don't know what the origin of the apparition was. So, you know, the true story. All I know is the down the road there used to be a local dairy that used to produce the milk. Apparently, somebody died there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that apparitions frequently come from people who've had, like, violent deaths.
Uh-huh. Well, there was a well on the site, too, where we used to live. That's probably the other thing we can put to. I mean, you know, that's the only previous history I know of the place where I was living at the time in Dubbo, New South Wales.
Well, it could be that somebody, went into the well. I hate to even suggest that, but it's a possibility. Let's go to the phones. Bakersfield, I think.
Yep.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I do. I hear you. Proceed. Go ahead. 10-4.
Do you think you're going to be able to get me on?
Do you have something really interesting to say?
Yes, actually I do.
Okay.
I have one very interesting story that happened to me in college.
Okay, then. You're on the air.
All right.
So, you know, that's like, go ahead. Proceed. Tell your story.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm on the air now, or?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's see. My story is back when I was in college, I woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning, one morning, and there was a woman standing next to my bed, and I remember exactly what she was wearing. She was wearing a black dress, and she had a navy blue polka dotted apron on, and she was holding she had rubber gloves on, and she was holding a towel in her hands. And
only a woman would remember the fashion statement made by the entity. But go ahead.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
But I remembered exactly what she looked like. I know that she had dark hair and she had it up in a bun. And I didn't mention anything about it to my other roommates at the time because I was like, well, they're not going to believe me. You know, I look over and I see this like strange woman standing over my bed.
Sure.
I just didn't say anything about it. And the next day, one of my roommates went into the kitchen to go make something, and then all of a sudden, I hear her scream in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
She is just freaking out, and I go in there, and I said, well, what happened? She says, you know, I just went in here, and there was a woman standing by the sink, and she described what the woman looked like and everything, and she says, you know, it looked like she was washing dishes in the sink, and then I turned around, and she was gone. And I said, oh, my God, that's the same woman that I saw that was, like, standing over me in my bedroom, like, a week ago.
Right.
I, you know, since my grandmother is probably the most spiritual person, or she was the most spiritual person in my family, I called her up and I gave her the description of, you know, of the woman that I saw.
Right.
And it was actually, it was her mother that I had seen.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, it was, because I described, you know, exactly what she looked like and what she was wearing and the type, you know, like down to the apron and the, you know, she was, the dishcloth that she had, it was like this alternately striped, like white and yellow dishcloth.
Which you described, and she identified. Wow.
Oh yeah, she identified it, and yeah, it was just. She said, "Oh yeah, it's probably just that. That's just my mom checking up on you." And I said, "Well, you know, can you tell your mom not to do that because she scares the living hell out of one of my roommates?"
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good one. That's really a good one. You know, frequently people see loved ones who have passed on, but for somebody else to have seen a loved one who passed on and to be sharing that experience, now that is strange. Somebody called Classified has tempted me to answer. That's an interesting, plus there's a big picture of the gray on this guy's person's Skype. So Classified, hello.
Mr. Bell, can you hear me?
I can.
I have to keep this very brief, so I'll get to the point.
Please.
I was involved with an organization that hacked into classified NSA servers, top secret.
Seriously?
Compartmented. Can you hear me?
Yeah, seriously? You
Yeah, and NSA monitors Skype, so I have to keep this quick.
I know they do. Okay.
I came across partial documents which contained what appeared to be evidence of the United States government in compliance with extraterrestrials using genetically modified foods, locally known as GMO. The goal was to experiment with modifying human DNA so extraterrestrials and the human immune systems don't attack each other upon contact. This is to facilitate their crossbreeding agenda.
Oh my God.
These extraterrestrials are trying to stop organic food movement because they want everyone to eat these GMOs. That is what it appeared. This could be just disinformation. This could be real, but that's what it showed when we got into their servers. The U.S. government's using high-frequency active auroral research program, HAARP, to cause the devastating drought on the West Coast so they can bankrupt and buy out the organic farms to keep prices high. I have to go right now. Goodbye. Have a great show.
Wow. Well, I'm going to say that's unusual, and we might hear from him again, or we might never hear from him again. No idea who that was, just called himself Classified, and I hope we hear from him again, frankly. Very quickly, I think it's Matthew. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi. We've got very small time, Matthew, so you've got to get it out quick.
Yes, sir. I want to give a shout-out to Haunted Skeptic and to Bradley if he's listening, but I called because your out-of-body experience that you described when you had the guest on the other day.
Yes.
It sounds almost identical to what my grandmother said. Pentecostals have a type of worship called falling out in the spirit.
Right.
And they just get so overwhelmed while they're worshiping that they just, for lack of a better word, they faint. But what you described, such a warm and welcoming thing.
Right.
That's what she described, almost word for word. The words you used were what she described to me. And I wondered if you could comment on that a little bit.
I can a little bit. I had that experience, and it was, as I said, overwhelming joy. There aren't words for it. It was so overwhelming, there are not words for it. And it was very quick, because it shocked me so badly that I immediately snapped out of it. And that was my extremely short but powerful OBE. I wish I could do as you heard the other night described with regard to getting out of body. But I don't know. Maybe I can learn it. Maybe I can do it. I want to thank you all for a really cool night of open lines. If you want to hear more open lines, let me know. You know, this is your program, so what you want is what's going to happen. For now, sadly, that's all there is. It flew by, didn't it? Goodness. There are moments from this night that I will remember forever. With that said, from the high desert to the world, good night, all.
Out of time, midnight in the desert.